And in my words and ever working in our hearts. Amen.
Amen.
So the other day, my family was, my mom's still here, but my family, a whole family came out for graduation, and we got into this conversation about how people often use the word retarded to mean something unfavorable, not unlike how many people, especially young people, thoughtlessly use the word gay as a synonym for stupid. That's so gay. That's retarded. Now, of course, such usage of either of these terms is erroneous and insensitive. This conversation that we had immediately led into a discussion about what the PC, the politically correct term for retarded, is. So I went to Google, first place to go, and in online forums, there seemed to be this great deal of concern and confusion about this. Some people suggested the term mentally handicapped, others intellectually delayed, while still others suggest cognitively impaired, mentally challenged, or even the proper diagnostic term mentally retarded, as on PC as that sounds. It seems often, thinking about all of that, that we do not know how to relate to, much less talk about, people who are quite different from ourselves. There is either this frantic search for the right label to put people into categories, or people try to ignore our differences and pretend that we're all the same. For example, in talking about racism, I've heard people say, "Well, I don't see people's different colors," as if ignoring the difference, the different colors meant that there's the solution to the problem, and ignoring that. I think that the multitude of skin colors, rather, that God created is beautiful. There is beauty in that range, in that spectrum. Thinking about these two different areas, I would like to suggest that each and every one of us, myself included, are suffering from a mild case of xenophobia, a fear of strangers. It's hard to talk about people who are different from us. In our society, I have seen horrible homes where elderly people and people with developmental disabilities are pushed away and forgotten, as if they have nothing to offer to society. The summer after my junior year in college, I spent some time traveling in France, and I got to spend some time at Jean Vanier's L'Arche community, not far from Paris. Jean Vanier is the founder of a Christian network of communities called L'Arche, French for the Ark. According to the L'Arche website, these communities are family-like homes where people with and without disabilities share their lives together, give witness to the reality that persons with disabilities possess inherent qualities of welcome, wonderment, spirituality, and friendship. The introduction on their homepage reads, "Perhaps an extraordinary notion in our fast-paced and consumer-driven society, L'Arche believes that these qualities expressed through vulnerability and simplicity actually make those with a disability our real teachers about what is most important in life, to love and to be loved." It was at that L'Arche community in France that I got to experience this model firsthand. There, the residents were empowered, supported, and even taught how to make crafts like mosaics and soap and even wine that they could sell to support themselves and the community. It was at L'Arche, while I was spending 2 weeks there, I would often go to the library, perusing through the books, that I came across one called, it was by Jean Vanier's sister, Thérèse Vanier, and it was called One Bread, One Body. So I read that book while I was there, And there was one sentence that I wrote down from that entire book that struck me deeply. It was actually a quote from a document approved by the International Council of L'Arche. They have communities all over the world. The document was titled Ecumenism in L'Arche. They wrote, "We seek to live in unity according to the model of the Holy Trinity, in profound respect for one another, seeking neither to absorb nor isolate the different, but holding each one in that true balance of poise and love." Let me read that again to you. There's just such richness in that one sentence. "We seek to live in unity according to the model of the Holy Trinity, in profound respect for one another, seeking neither to absorb nor to isolate the different, but holding each one in the true balance and poise of love." In our baptismal covenant, we profess faith in the Trinity, the belief that God is one, yet also three, that the one God of Abraham is eternally present as three persons of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. I believe that, like that quote from L'Arche attests to, in this revelation of the Trinity, we find a beautiful model for facing and embracing true diversity. There is a lot of talk these days about diversity, but often I have seen that manifest as either a bunch of liberals or a bunch of hippies professing the importance of diversity, but ostracizing those who are different and seriously different from us. The model of the Trinity offers a solution in which we come together and can honor those differences and recognize the oneness of our common humanity. Likewise, God the Father is distinct from God the Son, who is distinct from God the Spirit, but the three are one God, even in light of such distinctions. Now, I know the idea of the Trinity is hard to grasp, this intellectual idea, one God, three persons. So I have some images that I think might help. The first is that of fire. Throughout the scriptures, God is spoken often in fiery terms, the pillar of fire leading the Israelites, the tongues of fire that we heard about last Sunday. There are three aspects of fire that I'd like to draw upon: the flame, the heat, and the light of the fire. These three are distinct, but they all share the same substance. Where there is fire, there's its flame, its heat, and its light. One of these three cannot exist without the other, and wherever one is, there are the other two. I like to think of God the Father as the flame, of Christ as that light. John in his gospel wrote, "The true light which enlightens everyone was coming into the world." And then God the Spirit as that heat, that force which spreads outward, embracing and giving life. The other image of the Trinity that I'd like to suggest is that of community. In order for love to exist, there must be an object of affection. Love is a transitive verb, meaning that it is an action that requires one or more objects. You don't just love, but you love something. So Scripture attests that God is love. And the model of the Trinity is the only model in which God as love could be eternally existent in that triangular embrace of Father, loving Son, loving Spirit, loving Father, loving Son. In that model, we find perfect love, which is distinct while honoring that distinctness. Today's gospel reading offers a sharp indictment of any community which is solely insular and focused only on those with whom we can agree, who look like us, and with whom we are comfortable. The famous John 3:16 reads, For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Everyone, no exceptions. In a community like All Souls, we say this a lot, which makes it all the more easy to forget how powerful those words are. Now, I have heard from more than one visitor to this very community, outsiders who have come here for the first time, that they came to coffee hour and were not greeted once or welcomed outside of this liturgy. Now, I offer this information not as a criticism, but as a witness that there is still work ahead of us to welcome the stranger, the foreigner, those who are different from us into this beloved community. A supportive and strong community like the one that flourishes here at All Souls is a true gift, but the walls must be permeable and the doors must be opened wide to those who don't necessarily look like us, who don't necessarily talk like us, who don't necessarily vote like us, to all. That, my friends, is the challenge that I believe the gospel offers to us this morning. It is my prayer that in a diverse community of people who are all beloved children of God, we too may live in unity according to the model of the Holy Trinity, in profound respect for one another, seeking neither to absorb nor to isolate the different, but holding each one in that true balance and poise of love. Amen.